And we are live. Welcome to the Tripod FIFA World Cup Punting Preview. It's me, Winnie, and I'm joined by Tom. This is a soccer podcast, not rugby league. So the Soccer World Cup kicks off Monday morning, Australian time. Of course, the Rugby League World Cup is on this weekend and it's the final. And we've got a pod to preview that tomorrow. Hopefully you've been enjoying Rugby League World Cup Radio with Clarkey live every Thursday night. But of course, we've got an even bigger World Cup that is taking place in Qatar. And we're going to give you a team-by-team preview and some futures picks tonight. We're going to have heaps of predictions. We want you to share yours as well. So please let us know if you can hear us and see us and interact with us. We're going to go group by group. So whenever we're talking about a specific group of teams, send in any questions or thoughts or bets. If we've got a specific suggested bet for you guys, we will include the bookie and the odds available. Otherwise, we might say things like, we think Brazil's going to win their group, but it might not necessarily be a bet. So hopefully that will help you distinguish. As I said, love to hear your bets as well. And between myself and Tom, we've got plenty to share. I will say straight off the bat, I'm a big fan. I'm a big sports fan. You know that. I love all sports. Soccer is actually the one I've played and coached a lot more than any other sport, which you can probably believe, given my frame, I wouldn't survive in rugby league. But I never really got into successful soccer betting, to be completely honest with you. I confess it's hard for me to follow in depth with the time zone. So I'm not going to say I'm an expert. But hey, I did win the Euros bet last year. That was pretty good with Italy saluting. Funnily enough, they're going to be absent from this next tournament. That shows how competitive qualification can be. We've also got this World Cup combo market that's still riding. We've got a winner in the cricket. We've already got, actually two winners in the cricket, so just two legs to go. Australia's $1.10 in the league. So we might have like a 50-50 coming into the Soccer World Cup, which is pretty sweet. We've won a few juicy futures. I will share a couple more futures throughout this show with my reasoning. But as I say, not being an expert, that's why Tom's here. He does follow it in depth, and he's going to share a bunch of predictions and bets and join me through these shows as well. So, Tom, thanks for being here. Your first pod, a live one at that. Say good day to the followers and introduce yourself, please.
Yeah, hey, Tripod fam. I'm Tom. As you can see, a Liverpool fan, which has obviously been good to me probably over the last 3-4 years. The last probably 2-3 months hasn't gone as well as we would have wanted. But, you know, things are maybe looking on the up. But, my favourite sport is football. You know, I've been following it pretty much my whole life. You know, coming from an English background, there's basically football or you're not being part of the family almost. I'm really looking forward to this World Cup. I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stories. It's a World Cup like no other, as far as I'm concerned. I think the talent across the board is like we've never seen before. I think at most World Cups you generally get maybe 5 or 6 teams who are absolutely awful. I think at this World Cup we might only be at that 1 or 2 teams, but I think you can make a case for probably 26 or 27 teams to possibly get out of the group, which is really exciting. And I think you can probably make the argument for about 7 or 8 teams to possibly win the World Cup.
I agree with that, looking at like the list, and I've actually got the odds to win the tournament up on the screen. You can make a case for a lot of teams, and we will talk about each team. You did also introduce yourself in the group already, where you did a write-up and shared a total penalties tip. It almost seemed too good to be true, and then after a lot of comments and sleuthing, it kind of was. I won't go into that again. Check our group and check the comments for the full story behind that. And I'm a massive fan of the World Cup as well. I think it's an amazing tournament. It's something that's so much fun to get immersed in. And I definitely plan to do that again over the next kind of 4 or 5 weeks. In fact, I went to Brazil 8 years ago now. And that was a phenomenal experience. And I want to bring Tripod Family, you guys, this show throughout the tournament so we can invite you to enjoy it with us, whether you're, you know, really into it, you're staying up late at night, you're getting up early, or you're watching it on demand, or just catching the highlights. We can add to your enjoyment throughout the tournament, I think, hopefully with this show, by giving you a bit of background and some things to know and to consider, and as well as maybe if we can steer into a good bet or two that can add to the excitement as well. We're going to be live on Facebook, YouTube, and all pod players. So as we say, we will go match by match and talk about each matchup in coming pods, but tonight is just kind of a futures one. So we want to talk about it from a punting perspective and share a few bets because, hey, I'm not an expert. Will I be punting on the World Cup? Absolutely. And do I still want to try and find an edge? Of course I do. And Tom's here to help me do that. We're brought to you by Top Sport, and that's going to give us opportunity to give away a jersey. So someone's going to win a World Cup jersey who watches or listens to this pod. And we're going to have mixed matchups for the soccer as well every round of games. So plenty to look forward to on Top Sport. So I might actually say how you can win a jersey. If you're hearing this, give the video a like. That's one of the criteria. Give the video a like. And you're going to comment a prediction. We're going to make this one settle nice and early in the first week of the tournament. So I want you to comment one team and one player who you think will have the most goals after one round of matches. So you can pick a player and pick his team, but you can also pick, you know, Neymar for most goals, but you think Spain will have the most goals in the first match. There could be multiple level after one game, but you've got to be at least tied top in both. And the only other criteria or the only other deciding factor will be whoever got in earlier. So if you're watching live, you got the best chance. So which player will be top or equal top of the top goal scorer after one game, and which country will have scored the most goals after one game played? We'll find out who wins that in a week's time. We'll organise to get you a World Cup jersey. You must be over 18, but you've got to be over 18 to watch or listen to this, and you must be a resident of Australia. So have a crack. One other thing, if you're commenting on YouTube, just comment on the video comments, not the live chat. Okay, Tom, I've done nearly all the talking, but that's going to change now because we're going to go team by team, but I'll give you the opportunity to talk about the location, conditions, and the time of year. How has that kind of factored overall into your assessment of the tournament?
Yeah, look, like I said before, it's a tournament like no other, and I think that's probably something that we're going to hear a fair bit from the media in the next 4 weeks. Now, usually the tournament will run from around the 10th or 11th of June through to about the 10th or 11th of July. So that's normally after a long European season where most players who are in Europe have played the best part of, you know, 50 or 60 games, depending on how their clubs go. So it's a bit of a strange one. It's like instead of going a full lap and going around the oval, a lot of the teams have just in Europe have done 100-meter sprints. So some of the players are coming into this World Cup fresher than they ever have before. Like a thing that a lot of English media have previously said is we get to the World Cup and the reason we don't perform is we're stuffed. The reason why England haven't performed at previous World Cups is not due to that. It might be a factor, but that's not the sole reason. But this is only the second World Cup that's ever going to be in Asia. The first World Cup was in 2002. We saw some very interesting results when that happened. Korea went all the way to the semi-final. This is the first World Cup in the Middle East. And so no one's really got a whole heap to go off. Obviously, there are a few teams in the Middle East who are participating in this World Cup, most notably the hosts, Iran, as well as Saudi Arabia. And in a way, I guess you could almost say Australia. The amount of games Australia has played in the Middle East over not just the last 15 years, but in the last 2 years, basically Australia played all of their games due to COVID in the Middle East. So that's potentially one way Australia can, you know, get bridge the gap between themselves and France and Denmark is the fact that they'll be used to the conditions. So I think as annoying as it's going to be for everyone to hear, I think we're going to have to wait and see in the first few games. You know, there is the story of people saying, oh, English players or, you know, players from colder climates are going to melt in the conditions. It is December. It is their winter. It's still going to be hot, but the thing is, a lot of these players all go on holiday and they're all going on their pre-season training camps over, you know, in hot conditions now. So I don't think it's going to be the heat. I don't think that's going to be such a factor as much as what some people might think. It will be interesting to see what the crowd situation is like, because obviously I don't think this World Cup is going to be overly well attended compared to some World Cups. And the stadiums as well, some of the stadium sizes that I was looking at, they're a lot smaller than usual. Like the stadium average size seems to be at 40,000. So it I don't know if we're going to get raucous atmospheres like we normally do. But that's obviously going to benefit some teams more than others. But we'll just have to wait and see, I think, with that first round of games. Usually, though, the cream rises to the crop. I think when I had a look at it in the past three, four World Cups, usually five or six of the favourites go on and win their group. So I'd be absolutely amazed if all eight favourites from a betting perspective went on and won the group. But I'd also be stunned if it was only two or eight. So generally, you like to see a few surprises in there. But there's a reason why only, I think it's only eight teams have only won a World Cup in the history of football, because you need to be good for seven games over a short period of time, and it's incredibly hard. So I don't, without giving too much away, I don't think, unfortunately, we're going to see a first-time winner at this World Cup.
Well, that's bad news for the team that is favourite in Group A. And one other thing I will say about all the uncertainty and unknowns is that's an opportunity for some surprises and maybe some upsets and maybe some value punting as well. So we are going to try and pick some good value and juicy prices. And you talked a lot about Middle Eastern teams, and the host are also in Group A. But we'll go in order of the market there. So talk to us about the bridesmaids, three-time runner-ups, the Netherlands.
Yeah, the Dutch. Honestly, it's almost amazing that they've never won a World Cup, considering some of the players that they've had. Like you say, they're three times runner up. Two of those were in the 70s, with Johan Cruyff, most recently in 2010. As well as that, they reached the semi final in 2014. The team now is quite strong defensively, I would say. You just look at their what they've got at the back line. They've got Nathan Ake, who's playing at Manchester City. They've got Virgil van Dijk. They've got Matthijs de Ligt, who's recently moved on to Bayern Munich. And they've also got a player called Timber, who is in more favourable terms, it seems, at the moment than de Ligt. But even if they were to cop an injury, they've still got a lot of depth at centre-back. The one thing with the Dutch that concerns me a bit, they've picked up an injury to Junior Wijnaldum. That obviously happened probably a few months ago now before the tournament. But he's such a versatile player. Being a Liverpool fan, I've obviously seen Genie play a lot of games. And I think his absence will be really felt. The other one is they picked up an injury to Denzel Dumfries. That happened on Sunday. And Denzel Dumfries was probably one of the breakout stars of the Euros, and he's been absolutely balling for Inter Milan, and he's been a huge part of their success recently. So that's, fingers crossed for the Dutch, he'll be able to get on the field and play, because if he plays, they're a much better team. My one concern for the Dutch, though, the big concern, is who's scoring the goals for them. Memphis Depay, I think he's a solid player. But I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to get you six, seven goals to win a World Cup. I think it's going to have to be a big contribution. But they do have a bit of a hidden gem coming through, and that player is Gakpo. So if you're looking at a potential player to win, young player of the tournament, he's one to get on. At the moment, he's got the most goal contributions across all of Europe. He's actually got more than Haaland. So worth having a look at. I don't think he's obviously, I'm not saying go put money on him to win Golden Boot, just because the standard of the league that he's been playing in is obviously a bit different to what, say, like a Haaland has been on. But let's see how he goes. I think he's definitely one to watch.
And the Netherlands, I would say, are a contender for the World Cup. We're going to get to our futures picks, and we're going to actually show you our brackets. We will go a bit faster on teams that probably aren't the major sides, because we've got 32 to cover. Next one is the second favourite, the champions of Africa, Senegal. How do you see them?
Yeah, Senegal, I think they're one of those teams that's a favourite amongst the betting community. I've seen a lot of love for Senegal as a dark horse. They're the African champions, and I think with Senegal, people have got to realise they're more than just Sadio Mane. Like, they've got a lot of good players on that side. He's just the cherry on top of the cake, as far as I'm concerned. One thing that will really help Senegal is they're really good defensively. You know, they went through the African Cup of Nations. They only conceded one goal. They went through qualifying in a pretty, I'd say, moderate group, only conceded four goals. So if they need to, I think they've got the ability to keep it tight defensively. I think the plan for Senegal will basically be have a bit of a free swing at the Netherlands, try get out with a nil all, even a 1-0 loss, back yourself to beat Qatar, and then back yourself to beat Ecuador, or even get a draw against Ecuador. It might be the case that by the time they play Ecuador, they only need a result, or only need a draw rather than a win. So I think Senegal, pretty good bet, even without Mane, to get through the group.
I will just dip in on Senegal and say I think people will look at them as the best threat from Africa, and I'm just not so sure because it's a bit too obvious. They've got the household names, but Mane, we don't know if he's going to be fine. The other thing is they got a charmed run. I did a bit of a deep dive, and I won't go into it all, but if you look at who they had to beat to actually win the African Cup of Nations, and I was watching a bit of it early this year? I think it was at the start of this year.
It was in January, yeah, because I was down at the tennis at the Australian Open and I was watching.
I think it was quite recent. So, you know, it's in people's minds, but like they got a charm draw. They didn't have to beat kind of any top 50 ranked sides in the world. They're playing teams like Equatorial Guinea in the quarterfinals, and you get through all the way through a final, play Egypt, that's a legit competitor. You win on penalties. Mm. Even in their group, they only won one game. They beat Zimbabwe, and there's a couple other smaller teams they didn't beat. So I'm just not sure the value is going to be there. What about Ecuador, this side that's come through South America?
Yeah, so Ecuador is one of those teams where there's not really a whole heap people probably know about them, and myself included. It's probably the team in this group that I think we've got the least to go off in terms of. So Ecuador came through in qualifying from South America in fourth. And South America generally is really, really, really hard to get out of in terms of qualification. There is a bit of a theory going around in football currently that South America, outside of Brazil and Argentina, is a bit weak. And you've got to take a grain of salt, you know, how the other teams are performing. Brazil and Argentina didn't lose a game in qualification. They simply weren't tested. Ecuador are a pretty young side. They've got a lot of players who are just starting to get a go in Europe. There is actually a bit of a Brighton connection. I think they got three or four separate lads actually playing at Brighton, and that's headlined by Moses Caicedo. They've got a few lads who were part of Villarreal last year, Stupian. He's now at Brighton, but they went all the way to the semi-final of the Champions League. I think Ecuador potentially the type of team who get through the group and give England all sorts of trouble in the round of 16 if they get that far. But one of the comments says Ecuador will struggle in the Middle East. That's quite possible. I can't imagine that they've played a whole heap of football there. And I do think the value of Ecuador to win that first game, for me, I'm iffy on taking it. I'll explain that when I go into Qatar a bit, but I think with Ecuador, I want to see at least one performance and see how they go with the experience of playing the first game of a World Cup. For a lot of the players, it'll be the biggest game they've ever played, and then we'll have to see how they handle the pressure.
So let's move to the hosts, who they do play in the opener. I think you had an interesting stat about that. And another team, you might not know a lot about the personnel, but what do you know about Qatar?
Yeah, Qatar, like up until probably a month ago, I thought Qatar were nailed on for bottom. And I still think they probably will finish bottom, but I think they'll probably surprise a few people. Qatar are actually the current Asian champions. And that was in 2019. So it is a long time ago, and a lot of things have happened in the world since. But they did beat Korea and they did beat Japan on the way to win that tournament. Not only that, but Qatar have been in training camp together since August. Their preparation is probably the best that any team has got in the world in terms of the togetherness of the squad. They pretty much turned around their FA and said, if you're in the World Cup squad, you're not going to be playing in the domestic competition this year. You're going to be set up in this camp. And we're pretty much going all in on this World Cup. Now, with Qatar, importantly, and this is a bit of a theme from previous World Cups, in the history of the World Cup, no team who have hosted the World Cup have lost in the first game. So that's, 20, 22, 23 World Cups, whatever it's been. The other factor is in Qatar's favour is it's in their conditions. They're the most accustomed to where they're playing. Not only that, but since the World Cup started, only one team has gone out in the group stage who have hosted it, and that's South Africa. Obviously, Qatar's probably the weakest country that have ever hosted the World Cup, and I think they're the first country ever to host the World Cup and have their first participation in as the same thing. So I think Qatar, I think they won't make it out of the group, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get a point or two, and I don't think they'll be the worst performing team at the World Cup. They've got a striker up front who banged in the goals at AFCON, in the Asian Cup. I think he got 8 or 9 goals, and he got some of those against some of the quality opposition in Korea and Japan. So I don't think they're the worst team at the World Cup, and I think they'll surprise a few people with their performances. But I do think the Netherlands will top that group relatively comfortably.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm going to throw some long shot bets because I do think there'll be surprises. And if we just hit one of these, we'll do all right in the group. And I am going to tip Qatar to qualify for the round of 16, as we might have just lost Tom. I'll carry on with this bet. $5.50 is the best price for Qatar to make the round of 16. And I think Tom said it there that you always got to be wary of hosts. Look at Russia. They made the quarterfinals of the last World Cup. No, they don't have the experience in the top leagues, but you talk about the preparation and the resources that have been put into this team. And I also just think I made the case kind of against Senegal. It could be overrated. And Tom said as well, this Ecuador squad having some question marks, being young, I wouldn't mind that Qatar play at 550. I think you could do worse than that. Let me just check my phone because this is the beauty of going live. You get the technical issues. So let me just check how Tom's doing. And I'll move to Group B, and I'll try and interact with your comments too as we see if Tom is able to jump back in. So in Group B, now the next thing is I'm just going to have to click around here to find out because I can't quite read the graphic. We're going to find Group B, which is favoured to be taken out by England. And that's it there. So England, USA, Wales and Iran, let us know your thoughts. I've got an opinion on England that I'll share as well as I try and move into screen here. And I'm going to tip England for the World Cup. So I'm going to jump right ahead. And I've got them in my custom multi. And I'm going to make the case for England to win the World Cup. We might have Tom back. Hey, mate, hopefully we've got you back.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry, I'm not sure what happened there.
You're all right, mate. Now, one thing I think we're going to have to pick up our pace. We want to try and get all this done within the hour. And I feel like we need to go about 5 minutes per group. And we went a bit longer. But I've just kind of teased ahead that I'm actually tipping the favourite in this group to win the World Cup. So I might even just carry on that chain of thought and then throw over to you. For one, I like the prospects of five teams in particular, but four of them have all ended up on the other side of the draw if they win their group, and England is the one that hasn't. And I'd like to get your thoughts on their prospects, but I see the progression here that the squad that has kind of been together did pretty well at the last World Cup and then got very close to winning the Euros. You had the same coach, Southgate, and the quality and depth in this team as well. I give them a real chance, and I've got them going through to the final at $9.75 to win the World Cup on Top Sport. That would be my favourite futures play. Can you share your thoughts on the English?
Yeah, I'm an England fan, so they've broken my heart so many times. I feel like with England, there's a lot of negativity coming into this World Cup, and I think there's reasons to be concerned from an English perspective, but I do think they are a lot better than what the majority of English fans think. Harry Kane's in fantastic form. Phil Foden's in fantastic form. Saka is in fantastic form. I know Harry Maguire has been absolutely awful this year, but history shows when he puts on an England shirt, he does perform. And given the way Southgate has shown him trust, I do think Harry Maguire will get there. He'll look around. He'll be in familiar settings. I wouldn't be surprised if he performs. And then Erik ten Hag and everyone from Man United are wondering, where's this guy been for us for the last 6 months, or even longer? Sorry, United fans. But yeah, I do think England have got a very good chance. If they get out of the group, it can open up. And Australia can actually have a huge impact on that. And if Australia manage to knock off France and Denmark finish first, England will get to the quarterfinal knowing that they've beaten Denmark 18 months ago. And I think if England get into a quarterfinal, I'd say they're odds on. If they get to a quarterfinal against Denmark, I'd say they're odds on to go the whole way. And I think for the value at 975, with the talent England's got in that squad, and with the players coming through like Jude Bellingham, and it is good that, you know, Marcus Rashford, James Maddison, and Trent Alexander-Arnold are being picked. They're players who can really help England, especially if they need to chase a game. And one thing that's really going to help England is they're going to have five subs. And England's depth at 1 to 26 is probably better than in anyone else in the world except maybe Brazil.
Yeah, when you talk about Raheem Sterling, Jack Grealish could be some among those substitutes. Now, a few rivalries in this group. Again, we're going to go rapid fire, but give us just quick fire thoughts. Wow, USA next.
USA, a lot of players playing in the top leagues in Europe. I think they've got a World Cup coming up in 2026. They missed out in 2018 on the World Cup. I think they're better than Wales. I think they're a more exciting squad. The way they're playing football, I think they finish above Wales.
And what have you got to say about Wales? Obviously, well-known Gareth Bale and maybe his last major tournament.
Yeah, look, Wales, if this tournament was 4 years ago, I'd probably have them finishing above the USA. But to me, there's just too many things with the Welsh where it's just not going to go right. Gareth Bale, Aaron Ramsey are both past their best football. Joe Allen is carrying a bit of an injury. He's so important to the Welsh. Not only that, but I don't see where Wales are getting the goals outside of Gareth Bale. Defensively, they got exposed a bit at the Euros, so I don't really like them. I think for them, their final is going to be against England. I don't think they'll have enough to get through. USA actually finishing above Wales and qualifying through to the next round is actually going to be one of my best bets. I think that's paying $2 on Top Sport. I'll post these in the comments a bit later on just to get the exact pricing. But from what I remember, it was $2. It was $1.90 to a few other bookies. But yeah, that's one of my best bets.
And outsider in the group, Iran, any thoughts on them?
Yeah, Iran, they've never made it out the group stage. And I don't think they're going to do it here. I think for them, it's a big problem. They're going to get a really pissed off and fired up England first off the bat. And from there, they're going to be chasing their tails. They just don't have enough across the park to compete with the English and the Americans. And I think them and Wales, it's got the potential to be a dour nil or draw.
I agree with your thoughts. So England top, USA second, I agree with that. Moving to Group C, Argentina. What do you reckon about them? Another real contender to take the whole thing out.
Yeah, I wasn't big on Argentina probably about 6 months ago. But the more I've talked to a few friends, the more I've watched a few of their games back, the more I've been big on them. I think Lionel Messi, obviously everyone wants to see him win the World Cup. If England don't win it, probably for me, Argentina or Brazil will be the one that I'd want to see win it. Yeah, Argentina, like, it's hard to pick out any real weakness with their squad. You know, they've now got a manager who actually seems to know what they're doing. They come into this tournament unbeaten in 35 games. They've broken their drought of international trophies. They won Copa America last year, beat Brazil in the final, which I think is big for them. I think they'll go very well.
Unbeaten run, kind of reminiscent of Italy going into the Euros last year, was because it was delayed. And we know what happened there. Not bringing it up just because I tipped it. But next up, Mexico. Are they your pick to come second in this group?
Yeah, Mexico, for me, they finished second. If you want to have a look at something funny, have a look at Mexico's World Cup record. It's pretty much round of 16, round of 16, round of 16, round of 16. They pretty much never get knocked out in the group stage, never go further than the round of 16. I think it's 8 straight tournaments they've been knocked out in the round of 16. I think it's the record by some distance. At this World Cup coming in, they're, you know, most of their players play in Mexico, but they do have a few players, you know, who play elsewhere. Raul Jimenez and Irving Lozano are the most two well-known outside of the Mexican players who are playing in Mexico. Lozano obviously had that goal in the 2018 World Cup that was the winner against Germany and set Germany on their way to the end of the tournament.
That's right. They upset the defending champs last World Cup. Argentina will be on red alert for sure. Now, Poland is next, and Klangan has commented, do not rate Poland at all. What about you, Tom?
Yeah, look, I think Poland, if you take out Lewandowski, you don't really have a whole heap. Zielinski, who plays for Napoli, is quite well, but his role for Poland's quite different. For Napoli, he's basically just instructed to sit there, destroy and feed the ball to the boys up front. In Poland, he's pretty much told, right, you've got to help Lewandowski create the attack. I think Poland, their history just goes to show they're not up to it when it gets to the World Cup. Like, I don't think they've been out the group stage since the 60s or 70s. It's been a very long time for them. I thought they were very unimpressive at the Euros just gone. In fact, they came dead last in their group. They were one of the beneficiaries of Russia in terms of the qualification. They were due to play Russia in the qualification, but Russia got kicked out, so they had one less game that they had to win and get through. So for me, Poland, not for me.
And anything on the outside of Saudi Arabia?
Yeah, Saudi Arabia finished above Australia in qualification for the World Cup. But that's not really saying a whole heap. They've obviously got the benefit of it being in similar conditions to them, but, you know, there's a reason why their odds are what they are. I don't see them getting out.
Now, speaking of Australia, Aussie fans will be sitting up to listen to what you reckon about Group D, where the favourites are France, who Australia does play in the opening match. So talk about the defending champions first, the French. I should also say deja vu in this group. If you recall 2018, Australia's group was with France, Denmark and Peru. Well, they've already played Peru and luckily got the better of them, obviously down to an epic penalty shootout in Qatar as a one-off elimination match to get here. The other team in this group now is Tunisia. So we've seen some of these matchups already. So I guess you can talk about how different you think these teams might be this time around.
Yeah, France, obviously defending champions. A lot of people coming into this tournament and they're writing them off, saying, get on Denmark to win the group. And I don't actually think that's the worst bet. But the French, since the last World Cup, they brought Benzema back into the fold. They've not only brought Benzema back into the fold, but Mbappe's got another few years of experience under his belt. They're obviously missing a few players to what they had in 2018. Kante is not there. He's a huge miss. Pogba is a miss. I know a lot of United fans think he's useless, but for the French team, he was fantastic in 2018. Just this morning, Nkunku has gone down with an injury. So the French are starting to get a bit light in the sense that, you know, some of the players have gone down. But it still is a 26-man squad. They still probably will be able to bring in someone last minute. And that player that they're going to bring in last minute is probably likely to be Diabe. He's not a bad replacement. And you've got to think, a lot of these players probably weren't going to play a heap of games and minutes in the group stage. It's probably not until you get to the knockout games where they play a heap of minutes. And that's when you get to extra time. And they just need to have someone come off the bench and really run over tired defenders. I actually think France were going to come out against Australia, and I think, unfortunately, they're going to be there to prove a point. I think the French, at the last Euros, they started really slow against Hungary. I think their result against Switzerland left a bad taste in the mouth. They had that game won, and they threw it away. They really should never have got knocked out to Switzerland, but they did. So I would not be surprised if the French come out and really look to blow Australia off the park. My best bet for this group would actually be France and Denmark to finish 1 and 2. That's paying around $2.20.
And that's exact order?
That's exact order. Yep. And the reason why I've taken that bet is I think there's every chance that this group comes down to goal difference between France and Denmark. And France have got the more offensive weapons. And I think they've got the ability to run up a score more so against Australia and Tunisia. Whereas I think Denmark are more likely to have a 1-0 or a 2-0 win against those type of teams.
And I'll just reply to Dan. Qatar to make the round 16 is on Sportsbet. Well, I don't know if you heard or if that cut out. That was one of my tips for a long shot, Qatar to progress. Okay. Lee Thomas is on England at 100-1. Pretty good odds if you found those. Lee, next is Denmark, which a lot of people are giving a chance. So talk to us a little bit more about them. You just said it might come down to goal difference, so you rate them pretty highly as well.
Yeah, I think Denmark showed the Euros. They're a bloody good team. Obviously, they had a very unsettling event that happened in that first game, and a lot of teams would not have been able to come back and play the rest of the group games. Like they did, and they would have, like, as far as I'm concerned, as good as Italy were last year, as Denmark were the story of the tournament. And it's fantastic to see Christian Eriksen back. And he's not only back, he's been doing really well for Man United. But Denmark are a team. Their parts are better than what one individual player is. And I think they're the type of team who are easily able to say they're a top 10, top 12 team in the world. If they were to get through the group stage, they're likely to face Argentina. But they're the type of team that maybe could unsettle Argentina a bit. They're good technically. They've got some players who are used to the physicality of the Premier League, like Højbjerg. I think they could potentially unsettle a team like France or Argentina. But I do think they don't have the offensive weapons to get through. And I've just seen Lachlan's comment. Yes, it was on Lads about an hour or two ago. It should still be there. So, yeah, have a look at that, 220 in exact order, France-Denmark.
And I agree with that as well. Although I'll just throw this in the mix too. When I was kind of looking at the teams, I must admit I'm not really buying into the Nations League results a lot, and I think that's been thrown around that Denmark has beaten France twice in recent history. Mm. But when you think about all these players, they play for their club football, they play long seasons. Then the World Cup's the most important. Next most important is Euros. Next most important is World Cup qualifiers. Next most important is Euro qualifiers. Now we've glorified friendlies in the summer, and a lot of people are like kind of saying this team might do well because they won these Nations League games. I'm just not so sure, but I still think the Danes are probably too classy, I hate to say it, for Australia. But you better talk about the Socceroos, and if you do, give them any chance.
Yeah, I think the Socceroos, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for them because they start against France. And the one thing that might maybe help Australia is if the French aren't, you know, fully prepared. You know, they've not really had a whole heap of time to prepare. There's about 7 days between the last domestic game and when they're going to play Australia. So maybe Australia could catch them napping. But the problem is there's already a bit of negativity around the Australian squad. A lot of the former players are saying, why is this player not in the squad? Why is that player in the squad? So I think Australia don't have good morale going around. And I think Australia, it is a bit concerning that the real hope is an 18-year-old kid who will likely be coming off the bench. And to me, at the last World Cup, Australia really struggled to score goals in open play. In fact, we didn't score a goal in open play. There's quite a possibility that that happens at this World Cup again as well. So Australia are going to have to be really good in defence, and they're going to have to take advantage of the set pieces. I'd love to make a case for Australia to get through. I just can't. The one thing, though, that could help Australia is the conditions. They've played in the conditions a fair bit over the last 2 years, but aside from that, I'm struggling.
Well, you know what else can help Australia is just the nature of the sport, that sometimes the better team doesn't win, and sometimes the team that plays better on the day doesn't even win. Sometimes you just got to have a bit of luck. You got to take your chances and hope that the opponent misses. Australia went very close against France. It was a late-ish winner for the French. I believe they beat us 2-1 and drew with Denmark last World Cup. Now, we might not be as well placed this time around, But it'll be exciting to cheer us on, even if we are in the underdog role. And then even further in the underdog role is Tunisia. Do you agree with that, that Australia should be shorter odds than them?
To me, it's a hard one because we're obviously getting the odds from Australian bookmakers. I haven't really been able to see what outside of Australia there is. Tunisia don't really have any players, though, that are playing in top European leagues or anything. So given what the squads are like, it probably is fair to have Australia maybe just ahead, just on the basis that Australia do have a few players playing in more technical leagues. There are a few players from Australia playing in, you know, your German leagues, albeit the second division. I would like to think that the A-League is maybe slightly better than some of the African leagues that these Tunisian players are playing within. But again, I think with that one, both of them are probably around each other's level. I would say Tunisia are a contender for worst team in the tournament, though.
We'll move to Group E, where two of the stronger teams in the tournament are. We're going to pick up our pace again. So we've done four groups. We've got four to go, but we've got some futures and multis. But give us a word on the 2010 champion, Spain.
Yeah, Spain, they've pretty much gotten rid of all the experience. They've brought a whole heap of new kids in. They still do have some experience. I don't think they've done it right. I think they probably could have left one or two of more experienced heads in. I think Germany are a better team. I think Germany have got more goals than them. I think Germany have got more balance. My big problem with Spain is I don't see a reliable goal scorer. Morata, isn't it? He has proven over his career when the ball falls to him and you need him to score a goal, he isn't that guy. But Spain do have two players in that midfield who are worth watching, Pedri and Javi. Both of them, I think, if you get decent odds for them, for young player of the tournament, they're worth having a look at.
And extra thoughts on Germany?
Germany, no Timo Werner. That's a bit of a disappointment. He could have been something quite handy for them. They've got a player coming through. Musiala for Bayern Munich has been killing it this year. He's really one to keep an eye out on. They've got a new coach in Hansi Flick. They've got a lot of combinations from Bayern Munich together. So I think Germany are going to be a more settled team. Germany have made the quarterfinals pretty much every tournament they've competed in. They normally make the last four, 2002, 2014, four straight finishes in the top four. The Germans, their record in the World Cup is second to none, really, except for Brazil. Spain don't really have a great World Cup record outside of their win in 2010. At the money, I would take Germany.
That's right. Germany have won the World Cup four times, most recently in 2014. The exception to performing well at the World Cup was the most recent one in Russia, where they didn't get out of the group, in fact. But you've got them ahead of Spain. Maybe this is another group you bet the exacta 1-2, or maybe you can bet teams' exact finishing position. I wouldn't mind playing Japan to come exactly third, because to me, they look like they're a good team that's got an unlucky draw. How do you see Japan?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think if you are wanting to play in the exact position, this is probably one of the groups you'd do it in, because I think there's probably not as much variance in this type of group as what you might get, say, in a Wales, USA, Iran group. I think this one's pretty clear cut who the top two are. And I think it's pretty clear that Japan are a fair bit better than Costa Rica. Japan have got a lot of players playing at a good level. My one worry about Japan is I think they struggle against Germany, the matchup. Germany are big bodied bullies, and I think that won't really go that well with Japan. I think Japan can go at Spain. Maybe they could get a 1-1 result or something like that. But yeah, I think you've got to take Japan third if you can.
Quick word on Costa Rica.
Yeah, Costa Rica, 2014, fairy tale, made it all the way to the quarterfinals, got knocked out on penalties. That was the closest a team from CONCACAF has come from doing anything for a while. There's nothing really to write home about them. Possibly the worst team in the World Cup.
Let's move to Group F. And a phrase you're going to hear about a couple of the teams in this group is golden generation. And no doubt about it, it was Croatia's golden generation that got them all the way to the final in Russia. And so they came second. Third place was Belgium. So you got second and third from the last tournament. In fact, Belgium are the favourites in this group, and they've got a golden generation of their own. So my question to you, Tom, is was their best chance last World Cup, or is it still kind of a now or never opportunity for Belgium?
Yeah, I think Belgium is an interesting one. I think their best, like the height that they could have reached is probably gone. But this group is possibly a good one for them. They can get warmed up, and then the draw does open up for them a bit if they can get through in first. There is a bit of a question mark over Eden Hazard and Lukaku in terms of their fitness. If both of them get going, they'll be fine. They've got probably top three player in the world in Kevin De Bruyne. They've got the best goalkeeper in the world, arguably, in Courtois. Having Courtois is super important, because if he gets off in a penalty shootout, I'd rather have him than probably most keepers. Even if they're under pressure, he's probably going to win them a game on his own back. Unfortunately, cost Liverpool the Champions League the season gone. I think Belgium win that group. I see they're $1.58 with top spot. I've seen them as $1.73 at Ladbrokes, so if you like. If you like Belgium, it might be worthwhile having a look at them. I wouldn't give it a best bet, but it might be worth chucking in a multi, for example.
Just on that, you said De Bruyne top three in the world. Like, who is the best, and who are the best couple of players in the world or in the tournament?
I think one of the best players in the world, unfortunately, or two of the best players in the world, I think, unfortunately, are sitting at home. Haaland.
You're going to say Haaland? Yeah.
And I think Mo Salah possibly has got a reasonable claim to say that he's in the top three in the world. In this tournament, I would say your best players are Mbappe, Messi, and De Bruyne. Those probably would be the three. I've probably missed someone very obvious. But yeah, those would probably be the three players I think are the best players in the tournament.
We'll get to Brazil so I can quiz you on whether Neymar's in that conversation. I only brought it up because, and this is just my opinion, from just watching, you know, highlights and the games I've been able to see over the last few years, De Bruyne, to me, is the best player in the world, in my view. He is so classy. But you're right, like an Eden Hazard was probably, you know, in the top 10 discussion 4 or 5 years ago, and maybe that's when Belgium had a better chance. Am I right in saying Modric was player of the tournament last World Cup?
He was.
So that's a good segue into Croatia. He's still there, but is he the same player he was then?
No. 4.5 years for a midfielder who plays as much football as he does adds up. He's still a brilliant player. And I think most teams at the World Cup, if they had the option of starting him in their midfield, would take it. My concern is with Croatia, I just don't think they've got the goals in them. In 2018, they got a bit of a soft Argentina. They managed to get their way through. They got Russia on the way. They got England. I'm not trying to discredit them, but they did have a bit of a dream run. For me, Croatia are going to be thereabouts in terms of qualifying, but I actually am going to probably do something a bit controversial and say I think Canada are a solid bet to get through in second.
Well, roll straight into your thoughts. Why?
Canada, it's their first World Cup for about 60 years. They topped the qualification in CONCACAF, and they did that setting all sorts of records. I think they're a dark horse. They're led by they've got really good attacking players. Jonathan Davy, who plays for Lille, he fired them essentially to the title 2 years ago. Over PSG. You don't often hear that, PSG not winning the title. He was one of the main reasons for that. Canada, they might have problems, in the back line, but their attack, if they get themselves in a decent, game and it turns into a shootout, I think they're up there. I think they can, at plus money, I think you can get around $350, $4 in some places to get through.
I believe that Croatia and even maybe Belgium could be vulnerable as well. I'm going to throw out another value pick, and I'm actually going to go with the other outsider and say I would play Morocco at 3:30 to make the round of 16 on Toppy. What do you reckon about that one? I want to make another note as well. Teams that come out of Africa, that's a very brutal qualification, the way that they've got to top a group and then they've still got to win a playoff. And I also make the argument that Morocco is close to the Middle East as well for familiarity with conditions.
Yeah, I think Morocco, it's one of those teams, I think, if they're in any other group, I think they've got a very good chance of getting out. The way I see it, they could finish first, second, third, or fourth in this group. To me, this is the hardest group in the World Cup to pick. Morocco did very well in 2018 without necessarily getting the results. Interestingly, Morocco actually sacked their coach basically to get Hakim Ziyech to come back and play for him. He basically had a fallout with the coach, wasn't going to play for them. The Moroccan FA said, stuff this, we're sacking the coach. Ziyech comes back. I think Morocco are good. I think at the money, I think this is the type of group, if you wanted to back an underdog to get through, you only have to be right one in every three times to make your money. And I think this is probably one of the opportunities to do it.
Isn't that interesting? You've got the teams that came second and third at the last World Cup. A lot of people just look at it in face value and go, well, I know who's getting out of this group. And we're saying there could be more than meets the eye. And I had a note that Canada could take points off either of the favoured pair, which could actually help out Morocco. So we both agree there could be more than meets the eye. This could be a very competitive group. The next one might not be, and we'll start with Brazil. And you mentioned, you know, the best players in the world. You didn't mention any Brazilians, but you got the chance to kind of say whether one slipped your mind or whether that was deliberately. As I try and find the graphic for Group H, talk to us about Brazil, who are the tournament favourites.
Yeah, Brazil, I think they're probably rightfully tournament favourites. I think across the park, the balance that they've got is incredible. They've arguably got the best goalkeeper at the tournament in Alisson. And if Alisson was to get injured, they've got Edison. Neymar is Neymar. Neymar's a brilliant player. He's a top 10 player in the world. I wouldn't put him as high as top three, but he's up there. Brazil have got so many options across their squad. If it's not working, they can probably bring on Richarlison. If it's not working, they can probably bring on Martinelli. They can probably bring on Antony. In central defensive midfielder, they've probably got Fabinho on the bench. So to me, Brazil are going to be very hard to beat. They are World Cup royalty. They've won it five times. They haven't won it for 20 years. 2014 was humiliating for them the way that went. 2018, they're a bit below what they usually were. They'll win this group. Whether or not they win the World Cup, I have to see a few games. But to me, it's them and Argentina as my two favourites. One of my best bets will be South America to win the World Cup. That's at $2.90 on Ladbrokes. The reason why I'm taking that bet there rather than double chance Brazil-Argentina is just in case Uruguay go on some crazy run. At least we have the Uruguay option in there, so $2.90 on Ladbrokes.
And I agree. The question I think most people are asking is who gets second, Serbia or Switzerland?
For me, it's probably not going to be a popular pick. I think Switzerland. Just because I think Serbia, they're very good offensively, but my question with Serbia is if they need to defend a game, can they do it? Can they get their way out of it? In qualification, they didn't really keep any clean sheets. They've never really done well at a World Cup in terms of getting out, and the Swiss are just one of those teams, a bit like Mexico, they just find a way to get through to the round of 16. They've got a lot of players who play in the Premier League, and I think even if Serbia are turning it on, the Swiss do have the type of players who can kind of nullify that attack. They've obviously got Akanji and Fabian Schär at the back. Then they've got Granit Xhaka in there. They've got Jared and Sakiri in there. I think Switzerland, you can make an argument for them possibly causing Brazil a bit of drama in terms of, you know, just making it frustrating. They did actually get a draw against them. These three teams, Brazil, Switzerland, and Serbia actually played against each other in 2018. Switzerland did get the better of Serbia. Again, going down to goal difference, I think if it comes down to it, I think Switzerland get out of the game against Brazil with less damage. So that's why I would take Switzerland in second.
Injury concern for Serbia? Is it Mitrovic as well? Is that right? From Fulham?
I wasn't actually aware that he's got an injury concern. So that's something.
I thought he might have missed a game or two. So that would be one to check. You know, that's the crazy thing about this World Cup with matches taking place right on the weekend. But maybe someone commenting knows better than me about that for sure. The last team is Cameroon. Do you give them any hope in this group then?
No, Cameroon's FA is a mess. They have lost a few players to Europe who probably should have played for Cameroon, but they haven't because of politics. The coach has basically only been appointed for political reasons. You need to be good at a World Cup to get anywhere, and there's three teams that are in better shape than them. So, no.
Maybe when we put our bracket up, I actually picked Cameroon, and I did that a few hours ago. And then the more I was looking at it, you're going to still see Cameroon because I didn't bother going through the whole bracket again. But I actually would change my pick. I think you've convinced me. I reckon Serbia have shown less, and people don't remember them doing anything good in tournaments. So I'm kind of leaning Serbia, but you actually would bet Switzerland. Is that right? To make the round of 16?
Yeah, I would put Switzerland as the best bet, and it's not going to be popular, and I would suspect most people rather go with Serbia over Switzerland. But Switzerland do have to give credit to Switzerland. They did knock France out of the Euros. It was, maybe a bit, against a run of play at times. But they also finished above Italy in qualifying, and they're the reason why Italy aren't at this World Cup. And that's probably made a lot of teams around the world very happy because Italy would have been a serious threat at this World Cup.
And you know what? Italy might have stood in front of Portugal getting to the World Cup if not for being knocked out by North Macedonia, getting stunned in qualification. That just goes to show anything can happen. And Portugal are the favourites in Group H, the eighth and final group. Do you think they're going to top this one?
I actually think Uruguay should be favourites to top this group. I'm not prepared to make Uruguay a best bet. The reason why I think Uruguay are a better side is I think there's less distractions with them. I could do a whole podcast on why Ronaldo is a problem. He's obviously a very good player, but to me, he's a distraction and he's past his best. Portugal have also got an issue where Diogo Jota is out. He's a big part this Portuguese side. Portugal has still got balls. They're still going to get through this group. However, it wouldn't surprise me if they have all sorts of problems during the games and they just managed to scrape their way through. But I think Uruguay, they've actually got a better team in the midfield, arguably. They've got Valverde, who is absolutely tearing it up for Real Madrid. They've got a striker who's just starting to hit a bit of form. With Liverpool being Darwin Nunes, and then they've got the experience of Luis Suarez and then Edison Cavani off the bench. I think at the money, you probably consider maybe playing Uruguay or Portugal in a straight forecast, Uruguay 1, Portugal 2, if you wanted to have a bit of a dabble, if you had a bonus bet lying around, that's potentially a play. That's how I see those two.
You know what? I kind of see this group a lot more like the Belgium-Croatia group, where I think it's more wide open. I'm going to share a bet on South Korea, but why don't you give us your thoughts on them? They're the next favourite in this group, or the third team most likely to finish third, but I've got them higher than that.
Yeah, South Korea, obviously everyone knows who their main player is, Heung-min Shin. He is an amazing player for Tottenham. There's no doubt he is. I'd go as far to say he is a top 10 player at this World Cup. He's obviously got a bit of an injury. He's going to play. Even if he inflicts himself further injury, he's going to play. He'd rather play at this World Cup than play for Spurs for 6 months, I would say. So he'll play. Korea's actually got a very good centre-back who's killing it at Napoli at the moment. But my concern with Korea is a lot of their players are playing within Korea. I don't think they're getting tested necessarily at the highest level that you would want. But they did well at the 2018 World Cup. They caused Germany's ultimate demise by winning 2-0. They're very organised offensively. But my concern for them is if they do fall behind in a game, they're going to have to go for it, and that's going to leave them vulnerable to further goals. But I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'll share mine as well, but part of it is because I think Ghana makes this group live too, but what do you think about them?
Ghana's a funny one, actually, because Ghana has recently picked up about three or four players who have just naturalized and basically said, we're going to play for Ghana. So the most obvious one is Inaki Williams, who plays for Bilbao in Spain. And then they've got centre-back from Southampton. And then there's two others, one who was trying to get into the Belgium squad. But my concern with Ghana is they've got three or four players who are coming into this squad, never played for Ghana before. The stories that one or two of them have only been to Ghana basically for the first time last month. I'm not sure how true that is. But I think Ghana, there's going to be chemistry issues. I don't think they're that good. They didn't really do that well in African qualification. They kind of just snuck their way through on away goals and that type of thing. But it is a World Cup. They do have a bit of a point to prove. They will be penciling that game against Uruguay. You know, they'll want a bit of revenge on Luis Suarez. But I do think Portugal, Uruguay, and even Korea are a bit better than them. But I could be wrong.
That's a great point about the revenge factor, that very memorable quarterfinal in 2010 in South Africa, and a brutal way for Ghana to go out. I give them a chance, and I think Uruguay, like a lot of people like them as a dark horse, but I wonder if they're kind of getting on it. If they've had a golden generation, whether this is the back end, and then Portugal, you know, is there Cristiano drama, the fact that he's not the same player, you know, what role does he play? I mentioned before that Portugal in some ways are lucky to be here, had to go through the playoffs. So I just think South Korea, the bet I would make is South Korea runner-up, and I would take them at $4.50. And I feel like they could be runner-up to Uruguay. They could be runner-up to Portugal. You're sweating on the fitness of Son, but as you said, he's most likely going to play. And that's the eight groups. I am going to put up on the screen your bracket. And just super quick, you kind of run us through who you've got, like, say, kind of from the quarterfinals onwards. This is your bracket here. And maybe over further to your left, if you can, because otherwise we won't see your face while you're talking. Beauty.
Yes. So most of it's fairly uncontroversial in terms of group stages. I think when you get to the knockouts, round of 16, the teams who should be favourites probably will win just because of the five subs. If they are behind in a game, they've got the ability to bring on that additional player. I think it's South America's time. That's why I've got three South American teams making the final four. Obviously, Portugal and Uruguay, that's going to have a bit of an influence on that side of the draw, which you can see. But I do like Brazil to go on and win the whole thing. I think Brazil and Argentina, I think Brazil generally do have the run over Argentina. Now that France have picked up this injury to Nkunku and there's a few others, maybe if England get hot, they can give it to France. But I'm pessimistic, but if England start well, they could maybe give France a good run. But that's where my thoughts are at. Nothing
so you've controversial. Got Brazil turning the tables on the 1998 World Cup final. Now, while we've got your futures pick up here, did you have any other like team futures bets that you wanted to share? I feel like you might have messaged me one or two long shot teams that you know you've put Brazil in your bracket as the most likely in your mind to win. That's not necessarily always the team that you would bet on. Did you have some sides and longer odds that you would throw a small bet at?
Yeah, so I think if you're looking for an outsider, I think there's value in Denmark. You can get them around $30, $35, depending on where you shop. You know, they're coming off a good Euros. If they top that group, the group that Australia are in,
then they would have France's path.
Yeah, yep. And then they've got a very good chance. Uruguay, I think you can get them at $40 or $50, depending on where you shop. I don't mind Senegal if Mane gets fit. That's around the $80. But those are the three levels. I don't like anything over $100. Those are essentially be my three long shot bets.
Because the thing is, you get these long odds upsets, but it's hard to win all the games. It's hard to win the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh game. So you do get these surprise packets that we've talked about. And even last year, Croatia got all the way to the final, and I think they were kind of 40-1 range pre-tournament. So you can find upsets, and especially in a World Cup with unique conditions. So I've thrown a few upsets. So don't laugh, everyone, at my bracket. I think it's not too crazy. We'll put it up on the screen now. So, I mean, I had South Korea top. I told you I already want to walk back my Cameroon second in their group. But I do think there's a bit of a vulnerable section of the draw. One quirk, I've got Spain winning the group over Germany. But if you win that Group E, you clash with Brazil in the quarterfinal. If you come second in Group E, you avoid the hard side of the draw, arguably, if people believe Argentina and Brazil are the cream. Then I've actually got Germany making it to a semi from coming second in their group. Now, I like Netherlands. I mentioned that before. So I'm going to go Netherlands for the upset over Argentina. But a lot of people will say Brazil-Argentina semi-final. And I'm going to tip England over France as well. That would be the other kind of controversial one. Maybe England might be an underdog. So I've got England going all out as final. I said I'd take them at $9.75. Like, yes, I've put Brazil there in my bracket. Again, that's two different things. Maybe what's most likely versus what might be a value shot. We've got some multis to share, but since we've talked kind of about the teams, should we just quickly on the back of that talk about some player success markets? There's Golden Boot. What have you got?
Golden Boot for me is a tricky one because you get in a group stage, someone scores three or four goals, and it's pretty much over. So I don't really have a play so much for this. But if you think someone's in a bit of a soft group and they can put three or four past someone, get on them. If I was going to take anyone on the screen right now, I'd probably lean towards taking Benzema. I believe that's at $13. I see Mbappe is at $9. Now, the reason why I take Benzema over Mbappe is Benzema is actually the French penalty taker, unless anything's changed. At the last Euros, he took a penalty. He took the penalty that France got. And in the shootout, Mbappe actually missed the penalty that got France knocked out. So I think Benzema would be taking the penalty. So given it's a 50-50 market between those two for French top goal scorer, I'd be more inclined to take Benzema there. I would not go anywhere near Ronaldo. Neymar, Lionel Messi, I think they're fair odds.
Geez, I tell you, Benzema was in unbelievable form in carrying Real Madrid all the way to Champions League glory last year. And they were underdogs in a few of their matchups, including kind of dual leg ties. And he's just his clutch finishing. If he's in form, anything like that, he's going to go a long way towards top goal scorer. Again, when you look at this market, I think you want to pick a player. There's two things. You want players that are going to have potentially soft group matches because you get some cheap goals in a blowout, but you also want to pick a player that plays for a team that's going to play seven games. Now, if you get to the semis, you get seven games because whether it's a final or a third place playoff. I'll go long shot on the back of some injury news. And Lockie, thank you. He did comment that Mitrovic did miss a game, but is saying he will play. I'm going to go Kai Havertz for Germany. He could be the sole striker. You look at a guy like Müller has scored a lot of goals over the years and still in this squad, but whether or not he'd be the first choice. And with Timo Werner ruled out of the tournament, even more kind of likelihood that Havertz plays centre forward. $41 on Bet365 for Kai Havertz. I reckon is all right because I reckon Germany, whether they win their group or not, could be a team that that plays seven games. As you said, they usually go deep in the tournament and they're off failing 4 years ago. That could be extra motivation. So I'll go Havertz. You got thoughts on that?
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good pick. And I think a thing with Kai Havertz as well is he scored the winning goal in the Champions League final, so he's a big game player and knows where the back of the net is. There has been a bit of controversy. There's been a bit of chatter around his performances this year. I still think he's Chelsea's best player, and this could be the World Cup where he reminds everyone, hey, I'm that guy. So $41, if you can get that, yeah, brilliant. I think it's worth it.
That's right. Winning goal for Chelsea when they beat Man City, which is going back last year now. And what about Golden Ball? Have you got? I'll try and put the market up on the screen, but who would you be looking at in this one? This is player of the tournament.
If you think Argentina are going to go deep, take Lionel Messi. The narrative around Lionel Messi, even if he's not the best player for Argentina, he'll win it. If you don't think Argentina are going to go deep and you like Brazil, I actually think Vinicius Jr. I saw him at $21 elsewhere. I think it was Ladbrokes possibly. I think there's every chance that he outperforms Neymar. And I think Neymar's not as well liked with the football community. And I think Vinicius Jr. is a very popular player. So I wouldn't be surprised if he gets there. I think Kevin De Bruyne, if Belgium get to a semi-final, is good. But I think if I had to pick one out, it's Lionel Messi and then Vinicius Jr.
Talk about winning goals in Champions League finals. That was Vinicius Jr. for Real Madrid this year. I said I love De Bruyne, but I don't think Belgium's going to be all that successful. I want to get your opinion on one guy, but I'll throw out my pick would be Phil Foden, who I think you talked about with England, $41, just because if I'm tipping him to make the final, someone's got to step up. The more obvious answer is Harry Kane, but I feel like multiple players would need to really make their mark. And he's a young guy who plays for a star-studded team, maybe doesn't get the same opportunities and same roles because of the megastars like De Bruyne, who's his teammate. So maybe he stands out in this one. 22 years old, his best games ahead of him, could be in the mix. But what about this? You mentioned Brazil. Obviously, you mentioned Neymar and Vinicius Jr. Is Casemiro at 126, kind of a centre midfield, if Brazil wins it, is that even worth a flyer? Or you think there's a few others on his team get it ahead of him?
Yeah, look, I think if Brazil win, it's going to be hard for a defensive midfielder to win it because these awards generally are goal related. Donnarumma won the player of the tournament at the last Euros. I don't know what odds he was around, but it probably would have been in the hundreds. I think if Brazil were to go on to win, he'd probably have to compete with the obvious ones in Neymar and Vinicius Jr. But there's obviously Thiago Silva, who's the captain. There's a bit of a good narrative around him. He had a bad injury in the 2014 World Cup. You throw in Alisson Becker, who's in goal. I just think Casemiro's got maybe a bit too much competition, but at the odds.
And not necessarily getting regular game time now at his club, his move to Manchester United. And sorry, I might have just lost you there, Tom, but I think I got you back. You know what I want to do next? Get your custom multi ready. I'm going to throw mine up, guys. This is probably the longest odds I've ever had for a custom sporting event multi. So I hope you guys like the look of this one. Won't spend too long on it because we've already kind of made the case. Like Netherlands, think that there's a soft group in Group A, so they're going to win Group A for my Winnie's World Cup multi. USA qualify from Group B. That was one of Tom's best bets, and I agree with that one as well. We've got three teams to make the quarterfinals. Brazil, we've talked about how strong and deep they are. England, they've got a pretty good path. And Spain. And here's the kicker. At least one Asian, African, or North American team will also make the quarterfinals. So that helps bump us up to 26-1. You can have a max stake $20 on that, which would be risk 20 to win 500. Remember, we've got the $7 one that's looking pretty good. And Tom says he really likes the South American sides. He's got three of them in the semis. We just need one South American side to make the final, not even win it, for the $7 World Cup combo. So I'm going a little bit longer odds here. Did you guys know 15 of the 32 teams at this World Cup are from those confederations, Asia, Africa, North America? I think when you look at our brackets, Tom had four teams making the round of 16, and I had four or five, probably take out Cameroon. So I probably had four as well. So it's going to take an upset, but we've talked about how we think there could be some upsets at this World Cup. I like having 15 different possibilities because the best team doesn't always win, and we also don't always know who the best team is. Tom, any thoughts on that one? And share your kind of custom multi that Toppy's priced up for us.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good play because I think that you're pretty much almost getting a bit of a free hit roll of the dice with the African, North American and the Asian market. So, yeah, I'll definitely be having a little go at that myself.
Now, I don't have a bracket. I don't have a graphic for yours, but you can just kind of quickly explain it, and you've probably given the reasoning behind a few of the legs already.
Yeah, so I had two Maltese that I've put up. I think one's paying $5 and the other one's going to be around the 26. It pretty much feeds into what my best bets are. I think with the $5 one, it's just a case of there's 12 or 13 legs. There is a fair bit to it, but they are strong teams who I'm factoring in to make it into the round of 16. It would take a pretty big upset for most of them to miss out.
It's a bunch of
And
like
I'm
kind of
fading.
favorites to make the 16 and a bunch of like long shots to miss.
And for
And
those
people can check
people
it
who
out
sort
on
of
Top
have,
Sport.
yeah, and the $26 one, I don't have it in front of me. I can't remember the exact makeup, but I'm pretty sure it was like the USA to make the round of 16. And a few others, but those picks, I think it was
Yeah,
Uruguay
I
and
can read you
Senegal
that
there
one.
as
So
well.
26 to 1, you've got USA, Uruguay, Senegal all make the round of 16, and Germany, Argentina, Brazil all win their group. So again, we've actually given the opportunity for our members to all submit their own custom multis like you've done, Tom. But because you're special and you're on the show, yours have already been priced up, those couple, so people can find them under World Cup markets on Top Sport. Go have a go. Now, Tristan's promised me he's going to hold the price on yours for the next hour because if, you know, people love your tip and want to smash it, they usually would move the odds accordingly. So if people like Tom's tip, go and check that out in the next hour. And the tripod one should remain firm because it's a 20 max stake that's going to protect that price. But $26 for my one is very juicy. I'm glad you like it as well, Tom. And thanks for joining me on your first podcast. We're going to be nearly 80 minutes, but this was the tournament preview. They're not going to be this long usually, guys. But we're going to be back Friday. I'm going to do a short, sharp live preview of all the opening games. So game by game, we're going to have a mixed matchup for the Football World Cup every 4 or 5 days for each round of games. And we're going to just share game by game bets and angles as well. But I'll be back tomorrow. So I'm live 3 nights in a row because I've got Rugby League World Cup final tomorrow with Rugby League World Cup Radio with Clarkie. And every mixed matchup during the Rugby League World Cup has won. And as I said before, our World Cup combo is looking good too. But thanks again for joining me, Tom. Hopefully you had a bit of fun. I've had a blast kind of talking about this tournament. I'm so excited for us. I want to say thank you to everyone who watched or listened. Don't forget, comment, get that chance to win that World Cup jersey. Thanks to Toppy. And feel free to keep sending your comments through, like your thoughts and your questions, because we do check that. We can still get back to you. If you are having a punt, do it responsibly. As always, guys, we hope you enjoyed the show. And this is pretty cringe, but I thought instead of saying Lego, I'll say Legol!